All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Kevin, we're back with more Word Bros. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the post-Heroes edition of Word Bros. We missed last week because we were all en route to Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the Nature Boy Ric Flair, to do Heroes Con 2018. And what a wonderful, wonderful time.
It was awesome. We got to see some of our old friends like Marlon Shoup.
And, I know, I never met Marlon. This was the first time I'd ever met Marlon.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I could have swore you've met Marlon before.
It's the first time I've ever met Marlon. Marlon is
no?
one of my new favorite people Marlon's in the whole
wonderful.
World. Yeah, buy his books. He's got a book coming out soon. We're gonna have him on the podcast. Marlon's great. Like, Marlon is the easiest guy in the whole wide world to make laugh, and he has a tremendous laugh.
Like, and his laugh is awesome.
Yeah, he sounds like the Hanna-Barbera, like Muttley from Hanna-Barbera. No, it's more of like a. So, like, I just made it my personal mission to try to make Marlon.
He does that, and then he does a whole.
I really like Marlon. Marlon's great. We met Jamie Jones, who recently had on the podcast. I think I just lost Kevin for a second. I got you back, buddy.
I'm losing you.
I think you're unstable.
It says you're red. It says you're red. It says you're unstable.
Me? Because I didn't get an unstable thing. Weird. But, yeah.
I'm hearing you. Like back and forth.
We got to kick it with Jamie Jones. That was super fun. We just had him on the pod too. It was a wonderful time. Like, Heroes was amazing. Thank you to Shelton and Rico and all the volunteers and everybody that puts on a tremendous show every year in Charlotte, North Carolina. What a great time.
It was awesome. And we also got to give people a nice 7-page ash can sample of Metal Shark Bro.
Yeah, the Kickstarter for that launches July 3rd. We go live on Kickstarter. It's very exciting, very nerve-wracking. We've been talking to Walt nonstop, the artist and co-creator of Metal Shark Bro, about the rewards and all this stuff. We got some cool stuff coming up, so we're really excited about it. But yeah, man, it is exhausting. Doing a Kickstarter is exhausting. And I think it's a good that we have David Crispino on, who, as we find out in the interview, is a veteran of 7 Kickstarters.
That's right. 7 Kickstarters,
that's
you guys.
Crazy.
So if you're planning a Kickstarter, it's a lot of Kickstarters is what it is.
Yeah. But he's been successful with him. He's making his books. He's doing what he's got to do. And he's rocking it out, man. So good for him. We're going to talk to him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, David Crispino. So tell us, what is rocking and rolling? What is shaking here? Tell us about your Kickstarter that you guys got moving.
Sorry, just Tony stuff.
Tony stuff, for sure.
Tony asked what the ID number was.
Oh, here you go. I'll say it's 389. I feel like I'm singing a bad rap song. 389 740. Where'd it go? Come back, number. You were just there. 204. You ain't gonna remember anything.
8674. I got it. Five. I'll read it back to you. 389-740-204. This is what happens when you have a fucking an internet moose.
Yeah, this is all Tony's problem. If he lived in civilization.
It's fucking Grigori. God damn it.
I agree. I will always agree with that.
How do you work with this guy? That's what I want to know.
Patiently.
No, people confuse them. You kind of look like Tony, so it's easy to confuse.
Yeah, we get that a lot. We get that a lot.
That's it's fun. Like
me and Christian Debari did a book together.
Yeah.
That's yeah. You guys should,
too much.
You guys should all work on an anthology together, and then me and Jamie Jones can do a book together, and it'd be like the lookalike crew.
That'd be awesome. We should do that.
Yeah, the lookalikes.
And we just switch each other's name tags. That's what we do.
And everybody would be confused.
I'll be signing Christian Debari all day. David can sign Tony Gregori all day. Jamie Jones can sign Bob with some dots.
Hooking it up, baby. We're going to blow it up.
The thing with Tony, too, is that like his family is from the Delaware, Baltimore area. So like his dad, I guess, grew up in Baltimore. And so at some point in time, like he was living here when he was very young. Mm-hmm. And then when I was living in Montana, he was living in Montana, but like we never met each other.
Oh, that's fun.
You were ships passing in the night.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Interesting.
So so this Kickstarter you have going on is for Ancient Noise, the second issue.
The second issue.
And I have the first issue, and it's amazing.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
No problem. It's pure honesty, sir. Pure honesty. So give the listeners an idea of what Ancient Noise is all about.
It's a hyper-intelligent gorilla.
I'm in.
He meets.
I told you would love it.
He meets a time traveling. He's got a time traveling human companion named Jack. The gorilla's name is Silver. Jack is part of this time traveling kind of like blue collar people, folks that go back in time. They seed the past so that they can harvest the materials, the material resources in the future.
Okay.
So they try to you know, like as in anything, you try to do as much research as you can as far, and I'm not saying my own personal research. I'm saying as the characters, they do their own personal research to be like, okay, let's like make sure we go to these sites and we don't disturb habitats and we don't like ruin civilizations that like ends up affecting our timeline.
Okay.
But, so they go back in time, they end up wasting a gorilla troop and one of the survivors who is like was it patriarch, the male leader?
Yes.
Yes.
Who is Silver? He ends up smashing the crew, all but one, all but two, and he gets caught up on the ship, and the ship takes him through the the conduits of time.
Okay.
And he also gets he gets bombarded with some time stuff, some nanite blood, some all these things, and it ends up mutating his brain. He falls through the conduits. He becomes hyper-intelligent. And hyper-intelligent, he begins to invent things and all this and all that. So he's sort of the protagonist and antagonist, and Jack is kind of stuck in the middle of everything because they have to go back and save him, but also Silver wants him for his own machinations.
Will you do me a favor and turn off your fan? I'm just getting I'm getting a lot of interference from it.
Now we are. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, much better.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds pretty damn. Like I said, you had me at futuristic talking gorilla, baby. Like,
yeah.
I am Mr. Numero Uno when it comes to futuristic talking gorillas. Like, that's my jam. So it sounds
Go ahead.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I really like, I don't know. I guess the genesis of it was like, I used to work at a comic book shop in Baltimore called Collector's Corner, and shameless plug. And a couple of my customers and I, we were just talking about favorite characters, and I started getting on like a Gorilla Grodd kick. I started thinking about Kang the Conqueror. And then I was like, well, what if you put them together? So then this happened. And then later on down the road, I met Tony, and then I told him about this.
Isn't it so much fun when an idea is just like, what if you put these two awesome things together and then we make this other awesome thing? Isn't that great?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, originally I wanted to do an anthology series called Ancient Noise with Tony because it was originally, I mean, it's a Devo lyric.
Okay.
From the song Gates of Steel. And so I originally was like, we should do an anthology called Ancient Noise, and it could all be like science fiction and like imagination and all this and all that. And he was like, oh yeah, that's a really cool title. Let's sit on that. And so when I told him about this, he was like, we should call this ancient noise. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. We should do that because it's, letting your mind loose, allowing you to explore your imagination, allowing you to explore new ideas, give in to ancient noise, try brand new things.
I think it's cool, man. So this is issue 2 of Ancient Noise. Now, if I wanted to get issue 1 of Ancient Noise because I want to, how would I go about doing that? That's available on the Kickstarter as well, yes?
It's available on the Kickstarter through digital and print formats.
What?
And you can also go to Comixology now and find it under my name, David Crispino.
That's pretty cool.
And you can get it there at Comixology if you don't feel like waiting for your physical or digital copy.
Now, Tony drew issue 1 and now he's working on issue 2 as well. So Tony's been the artist throughout.
Yes, he's an artist co-creator.
Oh, wow.
He is working on issue 3.
Word? Is that hush hush? We can't tell anybody that. Did you just break a hot secret?
No. I just shared pages with Kickstarter only backers of issue 3. Like, I want to say the first like 4 or 5 pages of issue 3.
That's cool.
Maybe Tony's out of context. I don't know.
No. I mean, Tony's wonderful and everyone should know that Tony's wonderful.
Yeah.
Tony's
as wonderful as his internet is bad. Like that's how great Tony is. Like, Tony's such a wonderful dude and he has such a enthusiasm and knowledge for comics. He's really fun to be around. How is it working with Tony? You can say, I guess you could be super honest because he's not here.
Oh, you're right. I think he's really great. Well, again, like going back to sort of our shared past, he and I kind of come from the same sort of like background of like working class, restaurant work, East Coast guys. We both share we both have like Italian families and like he and I immediately, I guess, like clicked.
Okay.
We have the same sort of tastes about a lot of things.
All right.
And he and I both love like Faith No More and like Mike Patton projects. He and I love the same type of comics, same sort of comics. Politically, of course, we see relatively eye to eye on a lot of things. Working with him, he's hyper productive.
I think
if you guys know of him and of his work and collaborating with him, the man can get pages done every day.
Yes.
The man does pages every day.
Yes.
Yes.
Sadly, I can't keep up with him as far as monetary.
Yes.
But we all have to do day jobs and Kickstarters and other crowdfunding sources to be able to afford indie comics and self-publishing. But yeah, like working with him is kind of a breeze. I think so. Like there are some time, like I think he and I may have had like 2 or 3 disagreements at one point in time with a page or something like that, or like, hey, this is too much, or hey, this isn't enough, or hey, but you generally like we work really well together because I think I give him enough detail with scripts and enough, and I'm not like enough freedom because I'm the boss. No, I just like, it's like, hey man, like these are all suggestions. This is the information that I feel will help the story. If you believe that this is incorrect or that I can build off this or subtract on it, you know, total rain. Let's just talk about it and work it out together and we'll do it.
That's cool.
But most of the time it's just like, here are these thumbnails. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Like Tony's work rate is just bonkers. Like it is insane. Kevin and I are working on a project with Tony at the moment. And I mean, the amount of work that he was doing on a daily basis was just blowing my face off. Like it was literally blowing the doors off of Kevin and I. And the work is so good.
Yeah.
It, like in a week, I think he had concept art, concept, like background design of stuff. And then like a page before the week was out.
Crazy.
And it was a lot.
He's so fast and he's so good because there's nothing else to do in Montana except except hoard your rifles and not be on the internet because there's no internet out there. So, but yeah, he's a beast, dude. And like, I'm really looking forward to this book. It should be really rad.
It's got a talking monkey. He had you at a talking gorilla.
If you got a, if you got a
technically
dude,
technically it's an ape.
Oh well, then I'm out. I'm out.
Hey man, I was selling it for you, David. Why'd you mess it up, dude?
I'm sorry.
So how is the Kickstarter model treating you? Because we had a conversation with a lot of guys at Heroes that this is a wonderful time to be in comics because you don't need permission from a publisher to get things done. You can just go out there and do it. So how is that experience helping you out?
This is my 7th Kickstarter.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
They've all been successful in one way or another. Ancient Noise has been, I want to say, the most successful. 1 and 2 now, just because I feel like, I guess the concept like stands on its own, and people like, as you said, you know, it's like, oh, I'm in talking gorilla. I'm all about it. Comics and gorillas work well together.
Yeah, they do.
They have a history. But yeah, 7th Kickstarter. It's hard being, I think Kickstarter is a lot of work and people don't realize it.
Yes.
How much work actually goes into it. And also with the friends and family pity funding. Also the amount of marketing that you have to do yourself. And of course, like, yeah, like shamelessly marketing. Like it's not easy for us to be like every single day plugging away like, hey, make sure you check out my Kickstarter, make sure you check out my Patreon, make sure you go do Comixology, make sure, hey, if you want physical copies, you can actually contact me or Big Cartel or whatever media or monetary system that you use or whatever it is to get just your work out. And yeah, we are in a really cool era. I guess, how old's Kickstarter? I want to say I did my first Kickstarter in like 2012, 2013.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, dude, yeah. I did a Kickstarter back in 2009. So yeah, Kickstarter's
there been you around. Go. Yeah, so it's been around for a long time. Yeah, it's cool. I remember, like, I saw a tweet that Rick Remender did when he was like, I remember when Kickstarter was just maxing out 2 credit cards.
Yeah, you know what? Like,
yeah.
I remember that tweet as well. And I was like, God damn, I love you, Rick Remender. Like, you're just the best dude in the whole wide world. Now, do you have any, like, any aspirations to work with publishers, or do you just find the kind of Kickstarter model works best for you and that's the way you want to do it?
I absolutely want to work with publishers.
Okay.
And the Kickstarter model, while, yes, it's been my 7th, I kind of hover around $3,500 to $4,000. I'd like to overfund all my projects just because, like, again, like, we're here, we're self-publishing. Like, you're not in the black. Not in the black.
No.
I've never been in the black.
No.
And so between paying, you know, page rates, between publishing, between shipping and other like tchotchkes, if you so want to have that with your Kickstarters, and other people who want to lend their talents, I want to compensate everybody that I work with in one way or another, whether it's a steak dinner or a page rate.
A steak dinner, you say?
Yeah, dude, I'm all about
it. I'm in.
That's, you know what? That's so old school of you. Like, hey, I'll give you a steak dinner. You do this pinup for me. Like, I believe that.
You know what? Come on to the Kickstarter. Forget about it. I'll get you a steak dinner.
Or like, I'll mow your grass, or I'll pick up something heavy and put it down again.
You know what? It's odd because I have lawns that need to be mowed and heavy things that need to be lifted around my house.
I'm your guy. That's what I do.
Back to Kickstarter at $100. David Crispino will mow your lawn. No, I'm kidding.
It has to be local, though.
That's a good Kickstarter reward. You know, you could probably make that into something.
Yeah, local rewards, like $40. I come and mow your grass.
Because, I mean, essentially, that's what Kickstarter is. Kickstarter is you at 12 years old going up to people's houses, knocking on their door with the lawnmower and going, hey, can I cut your grass? Except now, instead of cutting grass, it's, hey, buy my comics.
It's an internet lemonade stand.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing with Kickstarter is, like, you know, a lot of people still don't understand that it is a it's like you're paying for service, you're paying for products. Like, it's not a charity.
Yes. And
I don't know how many people I have to tell them that it's like, no, you're not like donating. You're not just like giving me money and you're getting nothing, or you're like making my dream come true. I mean, there is, of course, as we all know, there are those folks that do. They're like, I don't want anything. Here's some money. You know, I didn't buy a coffee today. Here you go.
Yeah.
But you know, there's that kind of, I guess, stigma. And so I'm always trying to remind people that, and the crucial, hey, it doesn't charge your credit card the day that you pledge. It charges it the day that the thing ends.
The day that we fund, bro.
Yeah. So like, you know, pledge early. Pledge often.
Get in on this. So you do have, because again, the conversation that we were having, I was having with a guy at Heroes, which is a great show. If you've never been, do yourself a favor. Just go to Heroes. It's. I mean, you're in Baltimore. It's not that long of a drive. It's
a break this year, sadly.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to Baltimore Comic Con?
I don't know. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no. What we were saying was, like, is it better to kind of work with minor publishers, kind of almost indie publishers where you're not really getting much but your book and previews? Or is it better to do the Kickstarter route and get your book out there and skip all that other stuff and just go directly to the people who want your book? Like, which one suits the creator more? Because even if you do hook up with like a D or C level publisher, it's like you still get a little bit more street cred than if it's like, yeah, I funded 7 Kickstarters. Have you kind of run into that? Like, if people ask, well, what have you done? Like, what have you done?
That's mostly,
mostly it's like people come to my table and they look down and they're like, why do you have all these fucking books, man? Oh, can I swear?
Yeah, of course.
Totally. Oh, okay.
All right. So it's like, yeah, like, what is it? Josh Williamson came up to Tony and I, and he's like, hey, what's up, dudes? Like, what are all these fucking books, man? And I was just like, oh, dude, it's our books. This is the stuff we're doing. And he was like, I wish my books looked as good as these were when I first started. So, I mean, it's like weird name droppy, but also like, he's a good dude.
No, he is a good dude.
So the thing, I mean, okay, so I'm a big doer. And I think the best thing for people to do is to learn as much as they can as far as comic production goes. If you're going to get into comics and you want to be a creator, I think you have to understand like how page rates work, how much time goes into making comics, like how you as maybe possibly a writer or a self-publisher, like you're going to be the one who's funding the entire project. Like you have to understand that you are so invested in this to the point that it can be crippling debt, as Rick has said about maxing out 2 credit cards. Now CDE level publishers, that's fine. It's at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Like you're still like maybe selling what, anywhere from a couple hundred books to maybe 1,000, maybe.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah. And at the end of the day, as somebody that's just starting out or beginning their career or in the burgeoning steps of their career, like on almost about to take that next step, like you have to know how to make comics.
Yes.
And having the amount of comics, like, I don't know, I heard a lot of the advice that I get from a lot of professionals is like, generally, you're going to be making comics for about 10 years until somebody actually really gives a shit about you and you're getting as a writer.
Yes.
Maybe not so much as an artist because, you know, this is a visual medium and that's the first thing that people will see. Now, will people allow bad writing over awesome art? We see it every day.
Now, it's true. Yeah.
If you see bad art and good writing, you just get skipped. So you have to have that good balance. You have to have like that, am I screaming?
No, not at all.
Okay. I get real excited about stuff. Sorry.
Dude, that's awesome. That's great that you have that kind of enthusiasm for the business. Because you have to have that kind of enthusiasm for the business because it will just kind of grind you down as a guy and a gal trying to make books.
Yeah.
Your passion is all you really have.
Yeah, so. Because you can go to a con and you can think like, I'm going to crush ass today and no one will give a fuck about you because you're not doing a Deadpool thing or, you know, and that shit grinds you down. So it's nice to hear this and it's nice to hear it's still done with enthusiasm. You've been doing this for a long time and just the fact that you still have that is nice to hear.
Yeah.
Now you've done 7 Kickstarters, you said. So.
7.
Is this old hat for you by now, or do you still get nervous? Because we're planning a Kickstarter launch too, and we're nervous as fuck. So I wanted to see if someone who's been through the game 7 times, like what you have to say about that.
So I guess you got to be humble. you always have to be humble in like what you're asking for. And like most of the time it's bare minimum. Sometimes it's not bare minimum. It's a little bit lower than that bare minimum. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, like you're going to get, I'm sure you're going to get funded, but at the end of the day, you're probably still going to be paying out of your pocket at the end of the day. Like every project that I have ever done, whether it's at the goal or more than the goal, I'm always paying out of my pocket. Like I'm always in the red. And that's just how it works right now. Well, at least that's how it works just for me. Is it old hat? I think that I'm probably in a rhythm right now where I understand that, like, I don't know, like I'll do a minute video. And in that minute video, I better have images of the book. I better be clear, concise, and get to the point of like what it is that I'm peddling and why you might think it's interesting, as we all know. Like it's us training for previews, right? The previews guide or for Twitter or whatever it is for self-promotion. This is this shit. This is what. So I always, as far as like Kickstarters go, I always try to have at least most of the product done before I start. Now I've had a couple Kickstarters where in the beginning where, you know, the books aren't done yet. So is it 7 Kickstarters?
That's what you said, man.
I mean, you're the one bragging about it.
1, 2, 3. It might be my 6th.
Okay. But I mean, that's still,
no, it is 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it's 7. It is 7. Hot damn. Anyway. I think that you have to have a lot, like as much as the product as you have done. I look at it now as recouping costs or offsetting costs. Like my first Ancient Noise, I asked for $3,500. I got like $3,800.
Nice.
This Ancient Noise, I asked for $3,000. We're at 33 something, 20 okay. something, 33, 20 something. And I want to try to entice more readership with like tchotchkes, but most of the time I keep it really simple. Like I want to offer the book. If there's a pinup gallery, cool. If there's some prints or some stickers, cool. That's pretty much as far as I go. Maybe a variant cover, like the first Ancient Noise. I got Simon Roy to do a variant cover.
Oh, that's cool.
One of my Kickstarters for my second Kickstarter, Control, I had Riley Rossmo do a variant cover. And
nice.
Like, nice.
That's good. Yeah, that stuff like panned out. People thought it was cool. Hopefully they liked the writing. I don't know. Some of those names return. Some of them don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people like variant covers. Some people don't like variant covers. It's and I also try to cater it to myself as far as like, well, what would I want? And generally, like, I want comics. I want more comics. And I think art is cool. And that's about it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I also am the one who's packaging. I'm also the one that's paying for postage. I'm also the one that's taking time out of my day to take it to the post office and see the sadness that is the USPS workers as they see me walk in with, you know, boxes and boxes of boxes.
A pallet of stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, Kickstarter can be old hat, but I'm to the point now again where I've got a system. I also don't stress about it anymore. Like I get I'm to the point now where I know like I'm going to take a month and like just plan it out. Just like, ooh, this is a good tier. And oh, that's a good tier. And like, you know, how's the video going to go? And I usually wait for the video to be last because I want as much work to be done so I can showcase it in the video.
Makes sense.
But I'm still kind of struggling with stretch goals because, I'm not really too sure what people want for stretch goals other than more shit. I'm not sure how much shit I can make right now. So
yes.
I ask like people like Rafer and my buddy Mike Riley to design stickers, to design prints, to do pinups. Like my last Kickstarter, Tap Sturgeon, I had a pretty sweet pinup gallery from like Layla Del Duca was in it, Mike Riley was in it, Rafer was in it, local artist Justina Jones was in it. But like just it was just cool. And that book, if you guys didn't know, that was in the back of Shudder for 6 issues.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So a little tip of the hat.
Nice. Yes, you have. Then you have published work, sir.
Somewhat. Joe Keating and Layla Del Buca were kind enough to have us in.
That counts, man. Count in that.
Shutter for a couple issues.
Yeah, count that, man. Yeah. Put that under your belt. Yeah.
That was a tough Kickstarter.
So it's not old hat. So that's good to know, because Bob and I have both done Kickstarter before, and part of what we do on Word Bros is tell people about how comics are made. And one of the things that you have to think about, like you said, is Kickstarter. So yeah, it's good to know that you're like a vet and you're still a little shook, but then you get to the, like you said, the stretch goals. But I'm telling you, man, the enamel pins is hot.
Yeah, I guess that might be the thing, huh? Like people love wearing
they love the pins. Yeah.
Yes.
And I love the motherfuckers that treat Kickstarter like it's like, oh yeah, I'll just Kickstart this. It's like, no, it's not just, I had a dude at a show we were talking about and he was like, yeah, you know, I think I'll probably just end up Kickstarting this. And I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Like, how are you on Twitter? I've got like 13 followers. I was like, well, you ain't getting your fucking book funded, bro, because you got 13 fucking followers. Like, you need Twitter and Facebook and all that shit. It's necessary evils for this crowdfunding game. You need to do it, and you need to do it well.
Yeah.
And if you've run 7 of them, you've clearly got some kind of algorithm, if you will, or kind of a roadmap to success.
Pity parties.
And, you know what? Whatever gets your book funded at the end of the day, that's all that matters, Jack, you know?
Yeah.
Well, cool. Also, so like, oh, go ahead.
Also, you can funnel money through your girlfriend or wife or other partner.
I told my wife, I was like, look, if we're doing this Kickstarter and we're like $600 away, we putting $600 on that thing, because I'll take my six, I'll give away 600 to get, you know, 14.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I absolutely understand. It's like, oh well, I'm just paying the Kickstarter fees, no big deal.
I'm pot committed at this point. I gotta get this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So your Kickstarter, this episode is going to be out tomorrow on Friday. So as of right now, you've got 9 days left. People can check you out, kickstarter.com, Ancient Noise.
Yeah, Ancient Noise number 2.
All right.
And you can also find David at DC Crispino on Twitter, right?
Oh, now I changed it to make it easier. It's just David Crispino.
Oh.
And David Crispino.
No wonder. Well, then you got to change your Kickstarter link, man, because you've got your your old Twitter handle up there, friend. Because I said, you know what? I'm going to add David as a friend on Twitter, and it said, he ain't here. And I was like, he ain't here, but I'm talking to this dude right now.
Oh, no.
Your Instagram works.
It is, and that's the same one. My friend Mike Riley was like, hey, you should change it so it's David Crispino and David Crispino, so that when I share your stuff, vice versa, I don't have to change the ads.
Hey, that's good advice.
Yeah, it is. He's a good marketing guy. He's a good guy to have.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you, so what's next, bro? What are you going to do next after Ancient Noise 2? When's Ancient Noise 3 hitting the shelves? What's happening? What's going on?
So Ancient Noise 3, Tony is on the 11th page. I think I just saw...
Nice.
A thumbnail for the 11th page. Again, he's faster than I am, so he's just basically waiting for me to paint. So he's working on the 11th page this week. I'm sure if things went well, like, he could have that done by September, and then we would get it collared and lettered, and then I'd probably try to do another Kickstarter around the, like, fall, winter time, maybe.
That's awesome.
Maybe. I've done 2 Kickstarters in 1 year, and I'm not sure if people are like, man, another Kickstarter. But at the same time, if you're in the previews catalog, you got books coming out every month. So,
dude, previews is tough as a creator, because every month you're promoting the next one, and it's just a series of letters and numbers. And sometimes you feel like it just gets lost, like it's just jumbled. Oh man, you got to get it. Please order this book. Please order this book until the next one, and then please order this one. Please order this one. And it's just a bunch of numbers and letters.
It is,
you know.
And today, you know, we're getting inundated with letters and numbers.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
it is happening. Go ahead.
No, I'm good, man. I'm done.
You're saying, You said and it's, and then.
Yeah, I don't know. My brain stopped working for a second there.
Okay, I thought you had something else to say, and then I cut you off, and I felt bad.
Nah.
We're just cutting each other off.
My brain cut each other off, so we're good. He's like, no, no, blips, no, don't move anymore. You're good.
What were you going to say, Kevin?
I wasn't going to – I forgot what I was going to say because I was worried about what Bobby was
going
to say.
It's going around the room. David, do you remember what you were going to say?
Is it contagious?
I think we were still talking about letters and numbers.
Yes.
But it all goes with self-promotion. It all goes with marketing. It's a part of the industry as far as like the entertainment industry. And we're in a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche.
Yes.
And then most of the time, you know, we have like weird ideas that may not be mainstream. And those letters and numbers mean a lot to us. So we have to keep up the struggle, I guess, as much as we can for, you know, all imaginative stories and storytelling because we're bringing the new shit.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, dude.
I mean, no matter what, I think, you know, we're going to sweat blood and tears as much as we can in however much we make. And that's what I think. I don't know.
All
right. Yeah, more ancient noises coming. He and I are talking about a big thing that we're not going to talk about. But other than that, he and I are talking about it. But
all right. So you're saying there's ideas on ideas on ideas. How many of these ideas involve talking monkeys?
This next one involves talking monkeys. For sure. Talking
monkeys. Sold.
not monkeys. But yeah, there's like a buddy of mine that I'm working on a horror fantasy in the realm of like Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Berserk, like that kind of feel.
That's cool.
That's cool.
So I'm working on something like that. And then I'm currently outlining like a horror noir.
Fun. Wow. Now how often like do you write every day? Are you one of those guys that believes in like sitting down and putting, you know, pen to paper on a daily basis, or do you just kind of marinate and then it explodes?
I am a believer of writing every day. Am I a practitioner? No. I am awful at writing every day. I just started getting back into doing it. There was a point in time, I want to say between 2012 and 2014, that I was writing every day. And something happened in 2015 or 2016, and I just like something popped and I just like took a break. Tony and I did a lot of like did some conventions last year. What year is this?
2018, friend.
2018. Okay. So 2017, I took a little break from writing every year, and I didn't put out new content other than Taff Sturgeon, and that was coming out in the end of 2016, beginning of 2017.
Okay.
And Tony and I went to, like, the West Coast and did, like, Rose City. And then,
nice.
You know, we went to Baltimore. I went to Baltimore. We went to New York. We did a couple things last year, and it would just kind of stretched us both thin. And then so this year we're taking that break that I mentioned earlier about Comic Cons. Now, I'll probably go to Baltimore because Rafer is so kind. And now I'm putting him on the spot. Ha ha! he and I and Mike Riley were talking about a possible share bears.
See, but that's the crazy part about it too, is because you mentioned that you take a break from comics, but the only way you're going to make money to make more comics is by doing conventions. Yes. And the only way you can do conventions is if you have money to get tables. It's yes. all just, it's all like indie comics on this level. And again, even with like C and D level publishers for the creators, it's all just a shell game. You're just you're just moving money around. You're moving money around to buy a table, to print more books, to pay an artist to do a pitch, to do that. It's all just an illusion.
Yeah.
You know? And at the end of the day, you're trying to sell a book to a kid that just wants a fucking Deadpool vinyl pop, and you just want to punch him in the face, but you can't.
I don't know about all that. I don't like punching children. I'm not a big children puncher guy.
When I say kid, I mean like a 19-year-old doucher. With like
teenagers too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I'll punch him. He's 19, man. He's a legal adult. He could get punched for asking me if I had some Deadpool toys. Get the fuck out of my face.
You're silly. There's a hatred
yeah.
for Deadpool and children.
It's a, no, I love.
I'm not sure I want to be on this podcast
anymore. I have two beautiful children of my own upstairs. They're wonderful kids, but they don't like that Deadpool, I'll tell you that much. But you're running into people that don't want to hear anything about your original ideas.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah. Yes and no. I want to say in the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, that may be possible. I'm not doomsaying at all. With the rise in popularity in comic book films and other media, you know, people do want that name recognition, that brand recognition. And a lot of those people don't understand, again, like where it all starts mm-hmm. and how the convention scene has completely changed into more of a pop culture scene from what it was. You know, people are there. First off, a lot of people don't understand. It's like, wait, I have to pay to get into this. And then I have to pay to get into this. And then I can't just like take books from people. Yeah. And like, you know, and it's not like, oh, you know, you're a fucking idiot. It's just like, no, I'm sorry. This is what this is. Like,
yeah.
You have to pay $40 or $50 to get into this convention. And if you want to buy our merchandise, it costs money because we also pay, like you said, like we spend what, anywhere between $100 to $350 a table.
Yeah.
And we sit behind a flea market table in the flea market part of the comic book convention. And people just kind of roam around and hope, you know, you hope that you can sell somebody that they got a cool shirt and they want to have a conversation with
yeah.
you.
It's, right. Like it's, because it's right. At making comics on this level, you're a comic creator, you're an art director, you're a wrangler, and you're also like a carnival barker.
And yeah. an internet marketing expert.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hats.
Yeah, there's a lot of hats to wear on this level. I don't think people really understand it. They just look and go, oh, you made this? It's like, yeah, did. Do you know what went into all of this? And I'm asking you for $5. You know what I'm saying?
$5?
Yeah.
I can buy this for $2.99 at my local shop. Or can you get it digitally for free? And then I'm sad. You just spent, you know, it's like you just spent $100 to stand in the line for an hour so you can get a picture with like Bucky for yeah. like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, or Chuck Norris or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like yeah. you're sad that it's $5 or
$10. Well, I spent all my money on Kevin Sorbo. Sorry, bud.
To be fair, he is fucking Kevin Sorbo. Kevin and I were at this bumfuck show in the middle of like stupid Pennsylvania somewhere. And like this kid spent $10 to get into the show and he was walking around going, he asked me, like, hey, man, where can I get a Spider-Man shirt? I was like, I don't know, motherfucker, Target. Like, you could have bought a shirt for what you got into this con for. Yeah. You know, and it's just, and I mean, I get it. Like, they are more popular than ever, but I mean, it's just, it's, I think it's frustrating at times for people that aren't making print walls of popular characters or ripping.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, like, when you're trying to do your own shit.
Baltimore has a cool thing called Be More in a Comics. And it's like our local comic scene. We set up at like comic shops, we set up at bars, we set up at art openings and closings, and sometimes art openings and closings that we are part of. And Be More Into Comics, like we basically have mini comic book conventions.
Oh, that's cool.
Where people can come and, you know, they see us for a, not for a fee, for free. And, but you know, we're there to peddle our wares and to support the community and to promote the community and promote, you know, indie comics and indie art and indie creation. And then, you know, if you've ever been to SPX or I guess like VanCath is like the equivalent on the West Coast.
Okay.
So like SPX here in Maryland in, what is it, Bethesda?
Yes.
Silver Spring? Yes.
Yeah.
Bethesda. Right. You know, it's like sort of a indie comic mecca and, you know, either starting that own your own sort of group like that locally or finding a group like that, I think is really important, especially for folks that may be burnt out of that big convention, that pop culture convention.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's work at the end of the day, you know, it's work and people getting into this industry or getting into the arts and entertainment in any way, you know, they have to, it's shock. I know it was, I don't know if it was kind of shock for me because I come from like a blue collar background and I still am. But you know, It's like, wait, I got to do all this shit. I got to do all this work. Like, when do I get to write? Or when do I get to draw? Or when do I get to do this? It's like, you got to figure it out when you're not sleeping. Like,
it's true. You know, and like, if you think making comics is easy and it's a breeze and you're going to, it's like, no, it's not. That's, you better, like RZA said a long time ago on a Wu-Tang Clan record, you better snap out that fucking dream, because that's not what it is.
No.
Like, it's nonstop. You know, like it is, it's nonstop. And, and you're on here promoting your Kickstarter when you could be in bed, cause it's 10:40 at night, you know?
It is.
Well, I mean, also there's the other misperception that goes along with Kickstarter is, oh man, you're getting all that money, but really all you did was pay for your book. Cause when I did my first one, someone's like, oh, but you made all that money off of that Kickstarter. I'm like, me, I actually made 50 bucks. So
yeah, I cleared
on the book.
I have made $0. I have made negative dollars from all of my Kickstarter.
Yeah,
all of my Kickstarters.
I actually just made 50. That's what I made, and that was after everyone was paid. That was the money awesome. That I made. Yeah. So and I mean, that was cool. It was cool, but I mean, it was like they looked at the money that the Kickstarter made and was like, "You made that," and I was like, "No."
No, it's the same thing. Again, yeah, it's the preconceived notions.
That yeah, the misperception that's you're making all that. And it's like, no, man, that's not
true. You're making this money. I'm donating this money, you know, all this, all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, David, man, it was good talking to you, buddy. Really, really good conversation. Really good conversation.
Great meeting you guys. If we have passed in the past,
I have passed you. You were sitting with Rafer last year, and I came up to Rafer's table.
Oh, did he diss you, son? He just straight dissed you, son?
No, like he was on the like other side. Like there was like an L table.
And
I didn't know him, so I didn't say anything because I don't know him. And there was no banner behind him, so it's not like I was like, oh, I kind of know you from this.
Yeah, I was just there.
Yeah, so like I didn't know it was him until after Rafer told me at West Virginia. When we were in West Virginia, Rafer was like, you could have met David at Baltimore last year. He was right next to me. I was like,
yeah,
my bad.
We'll be there. I'm sure we'll be there again.
I'm going to be there this year. So
yeah,
and I'm going. So then we'll meet for, and we'll have a beer or something. Do you drink beer?
I don't.
Okay.
I'll drink either a Shirley Temple and make you uncomfortable and make you order it for me.
No, because Bobby doesn't drink.
I don't drink.
Bobby doesn't drink, so I'm used to that.
Yeah. I don't make it a habit. I mean, once in a while I have a White Russian. But most of the time I like to irritate people by asking them to go order me a Shirley Temple.
So you're like David the Dude Crispino.
Yes.
David Crispino abides.
I dig it.
That's what we should call this episode, David Crispino Abides.
There you go. Well, David, good luck on your Kickstarters in the future. Hopefully our paths cross sooner than later. You're a quality cat, and good luck. Good luck, my man.
What is your Twitter before we depart to?
At David Crispino.
We already had this conversation, Kevin.
It's a reminder.
Yes.
In case the other part gets cut out.
At David Crispino.
Yep.
Take a look at Be More Comics. Take a look at these fine gents that were on this fantastic little podcast. How wonderful. Support everyone's Kickstarter.
Stop it.
And you can find Tony Grigori at Tony Grigori at twitter.com. It's spelled like it sounds, except for it's Gregori.
There you go. All right, Dave. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And that was David Crispino. His Kickstarter, Ancient Noise 2, is live right now on Kickstarter. Go to Kickstarter.com and search Ancient Noise 2, and you can back this wonderful-looking project by David Crispino, Tony Grigori, and who is the colorist on this book? Claudia Aguera.
I think you said that right.
I did, because her name is close to Aguero, Sergio Aguero. So I just kind of went with the E instead of the O. So yeah, Claudia Aguera. So check that out. Check that out. Check that out. Get involved. Yeah.
And it's got a talking ape. So yeah. Who doesn't want a talking ape Kickstarter? I mean, we both do.
Yeah, I'm into that. So there you go, everybody.
I'm with that.
Thank you to David for coming on last minute, and we will talk to you guys next week.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.